is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, start this school year off strong with up to $4,000 off Dr. Dish basketball shooting machines. Huge back-to-school savings with Dr. Dish, up to $4,000 off their professional shooting machine lineup. Dr. Dish Basketball is here to help you make this school year the best yet with exclusive offers on their All-Star Plus, Rebel Plus, and CT Plus shooting machines, all designed to give your team the ultimate training experience. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 in the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Pete Alexandru, coach at CAI Postgrad based out of Clearwater, Florida, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Clinton. Welcome back to the Hoopheads podcast, at least our NBA episodes. We have been on, what, I don't know, two weeks?
We didn't do it last week. We didn't do it the week before, so I guess it has been 3 weeks since we've done an NBA one, Mike.
Did we do it that? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's been at least 3 weeks. We took a couple weeks off. I was on vacation, and then last week I was back probably in time where we could have done one on Wednesday. But
tea leaves wouldn't have been good.
Well, and there really wasn't, honestly, much to discuss NBA-wise. There's been, I would say, quite a dearth of news as we've headed into the month of August.
I think the only thing that was when I was originally putting the show notes together, I think the only thing that was to discuss last week was the Jaylen Brown extension.
Yeah. So, I mean, not much.
So we're going to start there, Mike. How does that sound? All right.
Okay, so, sounds good.
Or do we want to start about down goes Anderson?
We're not talking Indians tonight.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm going to Cedar Point tomorrow. I'm going to rock my Jose Ramirez shirt tomorrow.
Nice. So. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for
no
you.
One's, no one's going to mess with me tomorrow, I bet.
It was a good punch. Let's put it that way. That was a good quality punch. It's always nice to get the guy who drops his glove and gets squared up like he's ready to box and then gets dropped.
My favorite thing of the whole thing is that Jose only got 3-game suspension and Anderson got a 6-game suspension. And Anderson, clearly, I don't know if you saw the video of him walking away. Like, he looked like he had a concussion, Mike. He was cleared and played in the game yesterday. And the first bat time he got to bat, the pitcher hit him.
Nice.
So having a good week.
There you go.
There's your MLB analysis from the Hoopheads podcast. All right.
Watching that highlight 4 times, I think, is more baseball than I've watched this entire season. So
there's a lot of good compilation videos. Yo, when you get a chance, Mike, and any listeners out there, you need to go to the John Boy Media breakdown of the punch. Right. They do these breakdowns, video breakdowns, and it's hilarious. So I recommend it.
All right, sounds good.
All right. So Jaylen Brown, 2 weeks ago, signed a 5-year Supermax extension worth $304 million, making it the richest contract in NBA history, Mike. Here's my statement. The Boston Celtics had to make this offer. There is zero chance, in my opinion, zero chance. And you can tell me if I'm wrong. You told me I'm wrong before, i.e. Zion Williamson, that Jaylen Brown finishes his 5-year contract extension with the Celtics. True, false, or 50-50 on it, Mike? What do you think?
I don't know. I guess I'm 50-50 on it. I don't know. What's your thought process behind thinking he's not going to stay in Boston?
I think, well, here's the only way that he stays if Jason Tatum's not there anymore.
Because he doesn't want to be there, or because they're not going to want him anymore?
They're not,
or because it's not going to work?
It's vice versa. It's not going to work, Mike. It's not going to work. It's been proven and proven and proven time and time and time again. It's not going to work. This contract, the Celtics were in an impossible situation there. They had to give him this because he would have walked clean away, and they weren't going to get anything for him. They're going to sign him to this contract. He wants to stay there, supposedly. But, I mean, after all that stuff that had floated out, like last year and the Durant stuff, like the rumors of the Durant possibly going to the Celtics and him being involved, he wasn't supposedly pleased with that. I just don't think that this, because this is a 5-year extension. So if I'm not incorrect, Mike, that means that it's a 5-year extension on the additional year he still had. So that means he's going to be a Celtic for 6 more years. I just don't see it. I don't see it at all, Mike. He's going to be gone before that 6 years is up.
Well, odds are against it, right, with the way that the league moves today. And
I mean, if he's still there, you agree, though, Jason Tatum's not there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be hard to pay both of those guys $300 million, which is what you're going to end up doing. But it seems, and you and I can sit here and any other fan can sit here and say to ourselves, these contracts are insane and the amount of money that these guys are making is completely ridiculous. But when this new collective bargaining agreement gets ratified and when the next TV deal comes down the pike, which I think is coming in what, another year, maybe two?
Yeah.
That everybody seems to think that the cap's going to continue to go up by like 10% a year.
Did you see when that contract's coming up? It sounds like NBC is going to be getting some NBA games, which means we're going to get the theme song. I want that back. Give it back.
The NBA theme song from NBC was a good one. Yeah. So, look, I think when it comes to Jaylen Brown, you're right that the Celtics were in an impossible position in that even if you didn't necessarily want to pay Jaylen Brown, even if you were holding your nose and swallowing that contract as you're doing it, you didn't have a choice because otherwise he leaves and you get nothing for him and you can't replace him because you're already over the salary cap. So I think that's the biggest problem that, well, I shouldn't say the biggest, but it's one of the problems with the salary cap and the way it's set up and way it's designed is the Celtics are in a position where you have to give him that max contract because otherwise you lose that player and that asset and you can't replace that salary slot. So I don't know what the answer to that question is. I know Simmons has floated out something about if you have guys that you drafted, that you've developed, that you're keeping, that those guys count towards a lesser percentage of your cap, which I think makes sense. I don't know what exactly the mechanism would be to make that happen, but to me, that makes a little bit of sense. But the Celtics just, they had no choice. We can argue back and forth, is Jaylen Brown worth this contract? Is he not worth this contract? Obviously, is Jaylen Brown, quote, deserving of the highest level of contract, the highest amount of contract in the history of the league?
I mean, Mike,
You and I would both say no. Now, look, that deal is going to go away. He's not going to be the highest paid player in NBA history for very long. But the fact remains that the system is what it is. And in this moment, Jaylen Brown was the beneficiary of the system. That's not to say he's not a very good player. That's not to say that you wouldn't want him on your team. But it is to say that when you have to pay somebody who's at his level, which clearly, whatever you think of him, he's not one of the 5, 6, 7 guys that can win you a title as your best player.
Do you put him in the league? Is he even in the top 20 to you? Do you think he's?
He was third team All NBA this year, but again, you had a bunch of forwards that were injured that didn't play. I mean, I think he's probably a top 25, maybe 30 player.
I say he's got to be somewhere in the top 25, but I don't think he's in the top 15. I mean, I would take 2 Cavs over him, right? I would take Mobley over him because of his potential.
Yes, I agree.
I would take Donovan over him.
Yes, I agree.
So, and I mean, I'm not ready to say I don't think I would take Garland over him right now, but it's not like Garland's like way behind him, right? Would you agree with that statement?
I agree with that. And I think the other thing with Jaylen Brown is that, at least from what I've read and seen, is that he hasn't really come out and said, hey, I'm super excited to return to Boston? Because I know there's been, you know, leading up to this, there was some talk that, you know, maybe he wasn't all that thrilled about being with the Celtics. And again, like you said, maybe playing second fiddle to Jason Tatum isn't what he wants to do for the next 5 years of his career. But again, it's been proven now time after time after time that you sign your contract, you get your money, and then if you want to demand a trade in a year or 2 years from now, the team's over a barrel. There's nothing they can do, and yeah, you'll be able to force yourself to wherever you want to get to. So any of these guys are going to sign these contracts. They're going to sign these extensions if the teams offer them. And then the league has to figure out a way to deal with guys who are demanding trades when they have 2, 3, 4 years left in their contract. I mean, that's a problem. I mean, it's a problem. There's no way around it. So,
all right. So then the other contract extension was Lakers star Anthony Davis has agreed to a 3-year, $186 million contract extension, tying him through 2028 for $270 million plus. I mean, it's a good move.
Just repeat the same conversation we just had, right?
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. What at the end of this contract, LeBron's not probably going to be there, okay?
Right? The funniest thing that I heard today, I think
mismatch.
I want to say it was the mismatch.
I know
today.
I saw they posted in a podcast. I've not listened to the mismatch at all in the offseason. So
I wanted this. I'm pretty sure it was them, and they said something to the effect of, "Well, you know that when AD signed this kind, you know, when he signs this extension, you know, it's really good because now as LeBron starts to age, you know, Anthony Davis can really take over." Isn't that what they said when he first signed with the Lakers like 6 years ago? That when LeBron started to age and AD was going to become the man and take over, I literally started laughing out loud. I was like,
I mean,
well, I don't know if that's more of an indictment of AD or just another testament to
so
the longevity
let's just say,
of LeBron.
Like, how many years legitimately does LeBron have left? 3?
I don't know. I mean, at what level? I mean, the guy averaged 25-7-7 last year at age, 38, 39. I guess the question becomes like, at what point does he not even approach being LeBron? At what point can you not even see the old LeBron?
That's my question too, Mike. Does the Bronny James cardiac arrest incident change his mindset? Does he say, you know what? I'm put too much pressure on. I mean, and once again, listen, I know LeBron is not, I'm sure he's somewhat egotistical. Okay. I get it. Listen, but his son having a health issue. I mean, we haven't heard anything about the likelihood that he's going to play. I mean,
no, we've heard nothing.
We've heard nothing, which doesn't necessarily to me bode well for that happening. How much does that play into, well, I originally had hoped to play in the league with my son, but now I don't even know if he's going to like play in college
anymore. Right. Play anymore
like,
at all.
So like, does this not, I honestly don't think, I think he's gonna do not. He's not gonna do the "this is my last season." I don't think he'll do that. I don't think it'll be Tim Duncan where he will just quietly retire. But I think he's gonna be somewhere in between. I think he's gonna play a season, not say anything, and then at the end of the season have a press conference and say, "I've decided I'm hanging him up." Where do you think? Do you? I don't see him doing the Kobe Bryant, "I'm playing one more season" stuff. I don't know.
I go back and forth with LeBron. I mean, I could see that him enjoying doing that, but I could also see him being a guy of like, you know, he's always, I think, kept things close to the vest. So I could see him also, like you said, just kind of walking away. As far as like the Bronny stuff, I mean, clearly, I don't know how that doesn't shake you to some degree. I mean,
we also don't know the extent at which the cardiac arrest situation.
Right.
Was.
But regardless, if it's your kid and they're out on the basketball floor, and like I can just speak to, if I heard that or something like that happened to Cal, you would think long and hard about letting him go back on the floor and play again. I mean, you'd have to consider, is that how important is the game of basketball versus your kid getting to live out the rest of their life?
Apparently, he was at the Mayo Clinic today in Minnesota to get further consultation.
We know that Bronny's going to get whatever the best potential medical care is out there. I mean, he's going to see all the best doctors. So you would think that whenever his period of being examined and determining what was going on and what could potentially happen in the future, you're going to think that you're going to have as accurate of a picture as you possibly could have for any private citizen. I mean, it's hard to believe that anybody would get better medical care or have access to better medical care than Bronny. So, I mean, clearly you hope that whatever this was, that it's not something congenital. It's not something that is going to affect him moving forward. But again, who knows, right? I mean, I don't know enough about the whole thing.
At training camp right now, which I think is nuts. Okay. I mean, that guy literally died. Like,
yeah. But again, I don't know enough about how that plays itself out in terms of, is that what causes that one time incident versus what's something that's chronic.
The bottom line is, here's the thing. Okay. So going back to the original thing that we posed, Anthony Davis, when he finishes his contract, I don't see LeBron still playing basketball. But Anthony Davis will be a Laker, and I think he'll stay a Laker. I mean, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think he's going to be there.
Lakers, again, had no choice. I mean, I don't know that you're super excited about signing up for Anthony Davis's injury history, but the guy is, when he's right, I mean, he's, unlike Jaylen Brown, I think Anthony Davis, when he's right, is a top 10 player in the league when you factor in what he can do defensively. And then he's never going to be, I don't think, a number one offensive option on a championship team, but he can clearly be a very, very good number two option on a championship team. Probably about as good of a number two as you could hope for, when you factor in what he does on the defensive end of the floor. Yeah. So if you're the Lakers, you're happy to lock this guy up, not let him get to free agency, and roll the dice that he's going to stay healthy. And look, that's any NBA star. I mean, what you're really looking at is, as we move forward here, the combination of how big these contracts are getting combined with the risk of, man, if this guy gets hurt or he sits out seasons or games or whatever it might be, if he's missing significant time because of injury and we're paying him $60 million a year or $70 million a year, like, that gets pretty crazy pretty fast. And you wonder how that's going to impact load management and all that stuff that goes along with it. It'll be very interesting to see how that plays itself out going forward, because these teams, you can't have guys that you're paying $70 million to sitting out. Can you imagine? It's already bad enough what the Clippers have gone through with Kawhi and Paul George, but man, you look at these salaries continue to skyrocket. But again, the reality is we're all going to adjust to this new normal of contract sizes. And it's just like, you can go back and look 20 years ago. I remember when Magic signed his 25-year, $25 million contract, whenever that was, with the Lakers. And everybody's like, oh my God, or, you know, how are they going to pay him $25 million? It's insane. And so you just end up getting used to it. And everybody's going to get, I guess everybody in the NBA ecosystem just has to get used to, that's the way it's going to be. But I just wonder about, again, when you're paying guys that much money, how's that impact when guys are hurt, or how you're going to load manage them, and how does that impact how much they play? And then that obviously impacts fans going to see them play. And so there's a lot of things, I think, for the league to work out moving forward.
Hey, Hoopheads Nation, whether you're a beginner basketball player looking for a place to start or a seasoned vet looking to level up your skills, I want to tell you about your new go-to secret weapon. It's called Train. Train is a basketball training and education platform that gives you on-demand access to premium basketball courses created by expert coaches and trainers from around the world. Want to get better at blowing by your defender? Learn setup drills with NBA and international pro trainer Marius Williams, or how to use the punch drag with NBA trainer Kerry Darting. Looking to level up your catch-and-shoot skills? Practice space shooting workouts with former lead female trainer for Kobe Bryant's Mamba League, San Dixon. Or if you're just starting out, learn the basics of shooting and finishing at the basket from international champion, three-time Romanian Player of the Year, and Train co-founder Vlad Moldovanu. Train has 32 and counting actionable, expert-led, on-demand basketball training courses that teach you exactly how to improve your ball handling, shooting, attacking, and more. For a limited time, Hoopheads listeners get 35% off monthly, annual, and lifetime plans. Just go to gotrainbasketball.com/hoopheads to learn more and sign up for a free 7-day trial.
All right. So moving on to our next discussion, and this can be a brief one, Mike. FIBA, like, I've not paid really any attention other than the fact that one thing you and I have had questions about is, did Evan Mobley and Darius, did any of them, like, just get invited? Did Donovan get invited? Did Darius get invited? Did Evan Mobley get invited? Or even, why aren't they playing on the select team? When you look at the rosters, although the select team beat the other team in some scrimmages, apparently.
So I think with the select team and then with Team USA, clearly you don't have the top tier guys for the senior national team. So you're looking at, I think, what they say the starting lineup was going to be: Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Jaren Jackson Jr., Anthony Edwards, and I forget the fifth guy now. Let me see if I can find who was the fifth guy. Oh, Brandon Ingram. So, you know, so those are your starting five, which, again, that's a good starting five, but you don't have some of the biggest names. But it's just interesting that the Cavs guys were not involved. So I told you, I was just curious because I was on vacation as the kind of the news and the team was, I mean, I know they put it together a while before that, but it just really started to come out. And I was just curious as to whether or not they were considered, had pulled their names out, why neither one of them was involved with Team USA. But it seems like that, you know, the team's got to be prepared. The FIBA World Cup will start here at the end of August. They beat Puerto Rico last night, and now they have, I think, four upcoming exhibition games. They're going to go over to Europe and play four games before they get into the World Cup play. I believe they open up on the 26th, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, whatever. The things that I've heard just coming out from news and listening and watching and reading stuff sounds like that from the select team, that Cade Cunningham coming back from injury has looked pretty good, and that people expect him to, A, be healthy, and then, B, have a really good season. And then, you know, you look at the senior team and you start thinking about, okay, who's going to be the guy? And, you know, Brunson, I guess, is taking the leadership role on, and, you know, people are thinking that maybe Anthony Edwards steps up as kind of their go-to guy in big moments. So who knows what's going to happen with that? At least there'll be a little bit of basketball to watch once we get to the World Cup. There'll be some actual things that we can see. Although from past history, I know that sometimes those games are hard to find depending on what kind of TV services we all have. So
yeah, I don't even know what it's going to be on this. I don't even know what.
I have no idea.
All right, so then you had the idea for this other topic, Mike, so I'm going to let you explain.
All right, so just, you know, honestly, what got me thinking about it is just hearing all the news about, like, how good Cade Cunningham looked, and also Jalen Duren from the Pistons as well, that, you know, these two guys are really playing well for the select team. And, you know, hey, you combine them with Jaden Ivey, and then you got the Thompson twin, and, man, you know, maybe Detroit's got something. So then I just, you know, I've heard a lot about sort of these, whatever, young teams that in the NBA that kind of have their, you know, kind of have their thing going. So I guess what I thought was, is that we'd first of all figure out, like, which teams would we consider to be young up and coming teams. And then if we had to rank those young up and coming teams, how would we rank them, or which one of those teams would you want to coach or be a fan of or be the GM of? So let's kind of go through and just figure out what are the list of teams that we would consider to be young, up and coming teams, not young and crummy teams or young and completely tanking teams.
Let's
go with the East first.
We'll start with the East. I would say Detroit, right?
Detroit, yep.
I would probably put the Cavs there, right? I put the Cavs there.
Nah, Cavs are too far along. I think the Cavs are too far along.
Okay.
The road. What about, they finished fourth. They finished fourth in the league.
What about
in the conference.
Charlotte?
So. Charlotte, I think, yes. I don't know if they're up and coming, but I think you got to throw them in there.
They're young.
They're young.
Orlando?
Yeah, Orlando.
Orlando's in the news for not as so good PR reasons right now. You saw
that,
right?
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, I saw that.
Anyways, Eastern Conference teams, other than that?
I think there's one more.
Indiana?
Oh. Indiana, okay. Yeah, I think Indiana. Washington, we can kindly eliminate the Washington Wizards, who are, I would say, maybe young, but young and tanking. So I don't think they're up. They're definitely, whatever we think of Charlotte, Washington is definitely a notch below Charlotte in terms of wanting to compete. So we got four Eastern Conference teams.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Portland Trailblazers.
I mean, I don't think not until they trade Dame, because you don't know what they're going to get for Dame. So I think you leave Portland out.
All right.
I think there's only three.
Oklahoma
City? Only three. Oh, I guess there's four. Yeah, I guess. I mean,
Oklahoma City.
The Thunder's close. I mean, the Thunder is. Let's include the Thunder. Let's include the Thunder.
Oklahoma City. Yep. Sacramento.
No, Sacramento finished third.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man. Look at the bottom of the league.
I'm doing this off
Utah.
Okay, Utah.
Houston and San Antonio. So we got four teams in each conference, I think.
Okay. You wouldn't throw Minnesota in there, right?
No,
they played in the tournament, right?
I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is in his eighth year. So
okay.
I mean, the only guy who's young on that team is Anthony Edwards. The rest of that team is, you know, whatever. Okay. That's not a young up and coming team. New Orleans is probably closer.
You just had to.
I wouldn't include them either, but they're closer to being a young and up and coming team, I think, than Minnesota.
Well, they're definitely young in games played.
Okay, there you go. All right. Okay. All right. So let's go with those four. Let's go with those four teams.
All right.
Just kind of give me your initial thought of those eight teams that we talked about. Which team would you want their roster the most? It's interesting. I mean, there's some
probably
good
Utah.
Really?
I mean, we saw what they could do at the beginning of the year last year. Like, I know they faded off because they didn't have any experience, but I mean, I don't want.
All right, hold on.
Let me just go through this. Okay. I don't want LaMelo Ball.
Okay, I would agree. Charlotte is, I would say, in all honesty, as I look at this list, I would say Charlotte would be my team. Charlotte would be my eighth.
Okay,
pick.
That's where I'm at. I honestly know Cade was injured last year and he was solid his rookie year but something about him I just don't like. I don't know if it's the way like he protrudes himself or the way he plays. Okay. I don't know, something about him. I watched him a lot that first year and nothing blew me away. So I'm out on Detroit. Indiana piques my interest. Okay. They played us tough last year. They played the Cavs tough in pretty much every game. So you could probably, for the Eastern Conference, I think Indiana's the top. Would you agree with that? In the Eastern Conference, Indiana's the top of the four. I mean, I know you love Markelle Fultz. I know you do. In Orlando, you're in love.
I mean, I guess when I look at,
he's not young anymore, Mike. Let's be honest here.
No. I wouldn't. I mean, if I'm going with the Magic, you're not basing it on Fultz. You're basing it on Paolo, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying that Paolo and Franz are going to, and the two guys they drafted this year.
Jonathan Isaac played a minute this season.
Probably not. Anthony Black from Arkansas, and then they drafted Juwan Howard's kid out of Michigan. So, you know, who knows what those two guys become. But if you're betting on Orlando, you're betting on you know, Paolo and Franz to be two guys that can get you there. I think
Indiana has to be the top team in the East, right? Out of those four.
Indiana's probably going to finish with the best record, I would say, of those four teams. I mean, I think Halliburton is probably that good where he's the only guy in this group that's been – well, I guess LaMelo was an all-star.
Here's the other thing they have going for them. They have a proven coach, right? I mean,
right, that's true.
They've got a proven
that's
coach.
True.
I mean, who's Detroit's coach?
Detroit's coach, didn't they just hire Monty Williams, right?
Okay, well, Monty Williams has proven that he –
good coach.
He's a good coach. Charlotte.
Look, I like Detroit. I like Detroit's talent. I'm not necessarily in love with Charlotte. I mean, I'm not a big LaMelo fan, and Brandon Miller, I'm going to have to wait and see with him.
He can't stay out of foul trouble.
Okay. Well, who knows? But I'm again, least interested in Charlotte. I think if I had to pick these teams, I mean, when I'm looking at how they're going to finish this year, I think you probably go Indiana, then Orlando, then Detroit, then Charlotte probably, if I'm trying to pick an order. For the long term, it gets harder.
Yeah.
As to which one of these cores you would want moving forward. Because I think probably, I mean, Halliburton is young and you got Mathurin and they got a lot of other pieces and guys that I think can help them. Orlando, like we said, you got Paolo and Franz as your two centerpieces. And then Detroit, theoretically, I mean, you could make an argument they have four really good young players when you think Cade, Assur Thompson, Ivy, and Duren. So that's a pretty good nucleus moving forward if Cade develops into the type of player. I mean, obviously you need Cade to be a top 10 player in the league, which who knows if he's ever going to get there. But, I mean, long-term, I honestly, I don't know. I guess maybe I trust Indiana's franchise the most. And so maybe even though they don't have as much high-end talent, I might go with Indiana. Okay. But I think I like Detroit's nucleus, honestly, the best of in terms of the depth of their young players. I think those four guys are better than any four young guys that any of those other Eastern Conference teams have. So,
all right. So I guess, I think that, but of all of the teams, it's got to be Utah in the West and Indiana in the East. However, I will say Oklahoma City is interesting too, just because, you know, they have all those pieces. SGA is amazing.
They're going to be better. They're going to be better than, I mean, to me, I think you, I think I would least like to have Utah.
Even more than.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because I just don't think, like you're looking at Utah, right? Like who's Utah's best player?
They're a whole team. I think they're just.
But I'm just saying, who's their best player? Markkanen, right?
Yeah.
What's Markkanen's ceiling as an NBA star?
I don't know. Probably not.
Second best player on a team? Third best? Probably third best because of the fact that he's not a great defender, right? He's probably the third best player on a championship team?
Probably.
Okay, so on the other hand, look at Oklahoma City, right? Shea? Was he first team All NBA or did he make second team?
First.
I can't remember.
He got first.
Okay, so
he got it over.
First team All NBA.
Remember, I wasn't pleased.
You know,
I wasn't pleased.
Yeah, first team All NBA guy. Then you got Giddey, you got Chet, you got Lou Dort, you got the wing Jalen Williams. I mean, that team, if Chet's good, that team's going to get good real fast. I mean, when you already have, I mean, I don't think you'd say Shea's a top five player in the league, but I mean. He's a top 10 player in the league at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, none of these other teams have anybody that is sniffing that area. I just think Utah has the least upside, at least of the guys in their current roster. Now, look, they have a ton of draft picks from Minnesota and the Cavs where they might find their guy. But you look at, okay, San Antonio, right? Like San Antonio is not going to be good. Utah's probably going to be better than them this year, I would guess. But long term, wouldn't you rather be San Antonio with Wemby than – Utah with Markkanen,
even
with all the picks.
You make a valid point. I misinterpreted what you were saying. I thought
you're just talking about who's going to finish higher
this season. Yeah. That's what I was.
Yeah, I could see Utah. I could see Utah finishing ahead of San Antonio and Houston, although I could see it going the other way. And then Houston, what's your thoughts on them? Because I think I look at the guys they have, and they've been such a whacked out team in terms of the way they've been organized and what they've done out on the floor with Kevin Porter Jr. We had him here in Cleveland. We know that sometimes he's not always all there, but you have Jalen Green, you have Jabari Smith, you have Amen Thompson, you've got Tari Eason, you've got Şengün, you've got Cam Whitmore. They've got like all these pieces
coach that's proven that he knows what he's doing, right? As long as he stays away from the side projects. You know, I think he knows what he's doing. Here's my thing with Houston, though. And listen, I'm going to give Houston a lot of credit in the world because they could have had James Harden.
Yeah.
He wanted to go back. And they said, hell no, we don't want you, James Harden. So I get maybe I should move them up, okay? Because they know they clearly have been listening to our podcast and knew that we would not sign on that. But listen. I just don't see I think here's what I'm going to say for this year. I think Houston needs another year of like a rebound situation because they've been so disorganized and just been a hot mess. And I think it's going to take a year for them to rebound and figure it out. before they're going to be ready. I mean, and the other thing we have to talk about here is the Western Conference is just, that's a halt. Like, I think last year we were convinced that the Eastern Conference was better, but like when you look at that Western Conference, I mean, there's no easy games. And I know we could say there's no easy games in any NBA. Anyone can beat anyone on a given day. I understand that. Yes. But like when you think about all the teams and everything in the Western Conference, like I just don't see how Houston matches up with a lot of the teams. Like if they were in the Eastern Conference, I probably would give them a better chance to have a better chance, like a higher record.
Yeah, they're going to be super young. I mean, I think you're right. When you look at it, really, if Dame stays in Portland, if that happens and they don't trade him till the trade deadline or whatever, you're looking at no team potentially in the Western Conference would be actively trying to tank. I mean, they might end up tanking in the last 10 games of the season, but no team is going to go into next season thinking, hey, we're going to tank it and right from the beginning of the season. There's no team. Now, if Portland trades Dame, maybe they fall into that category, but everybody else is going to be trying to win to some level of success. I think with Houston, I think you're going to know whether or not they have a legitimate shot at being a good team at some point during this season. Towards the end of this season, when you see once they've had a year with Udoka coaching them and getting them organized and putting them in position where they can be successful, I think you're going to find out whether or not that team makes sense. Or maybe they're going to find out that, hey, three of those guys are part of our future and three of them are not, or four of them are and two of them aren't, or whatever it may be. But I like the talent that Houston has put together. And obviously on the Spurs, if Wemby lives up to the hype and doesn't get injured, the sky's the limit for San Antonio. So I think what I would say is if you're looking at this season, I think you go Oklahoma City, Utah. I still think San Antonio is not going to be as good as people think. I just don't think Wembanyama is going to have that big of an impact on winning. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see where he's going to buck the trend of rookies over the last 15 years where almost none of them have any real meaningful impact on winning. I mean, I know the guy's good and I know he's 7'5" and all the things that he can do, but I just don't see him having that big of an impact on winning. So I would think San Antonio would be at the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Long term, I would put it's hard though. Like I would put the Jazz at the bottom, but like I said, they have all that. They have that big treasure trove of picks that either they could make those picks or they could consolidate those and trade for a star or do something, you know, who knows. But I would if I was picking, I would put Utah at the bottom of teams I would want for the long term. I think you'd be silly not to put San Antonio at the top based on what everybody says about Wemby. And then, I mean, Shea's already a top 10 player in the league, which doesn't happen every day. So are any of those Rockets going to develop into a top 10 player in the league? I mean, maybe, but probably doubtful. So I think I'd go long term. I'd go San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Houston, Utah. If I was
and
going
long
term.
And we have to also remember, Mike, that all these rosters are so in flux nowadays that what we're talking about now is a hypothetical situation, because there's going to be player movement, right?
Yep.
There's definitely going to be lots of player movement going on. So,
yeah. All right. Long term, pick one of those teams. You want one team for the long term out of those eight. Which of those eight teams are you taking?
At this moment, I'm going to take the team that has, in my opinion, do I take the highest ceiling player team or the current best player? I'm going to say the best player currently that has an effect on winning, I'm going to take Oklahoma City, Mike. I'm going to go Oklahoma City. I think San Antonio's probably, like, if I was to say based on, I mean, Wemby's highest ceiling, right? Would you agree with that?
Right. Yes, so absolutely.
I would say that they're probably the highest ceiling, provided that he's healthy. So, but I'm going to go with, in my opinion, the sure bet is going to be The Oklahoma City.
Long term, the Thunder.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. I think you probably have the two right teams. I think the reason why you have the two right teams, your thought process is exactly right. And I think there's one other thing long term. It's that those two, I think, have probably been the two most stable organizations. Utah is pretty stable. Houston, I would say, pretty unstable. And then over on the Eastern Conference side, Indiana has never really shown a propensity to overspend. Now they usually try to stay competitive. Orlando's been a mess. Charlotte obviously has been a mess. And I would say Detroit's been a mess for 20 years. So I think as far as upside goes, you're betting on Oklahoma City and you're also betting on San Antonio. So I think those are the right picks.
All right. I'm glad to see that we agree on this one. That's
yeah, there you go.
We're on a roll. All right, Mike.
So, all right. I think let's leave it there with our
favorite end of this end of, you know, we have to talk about this, Mike. The Browns.
I don't have any thoughts or anything. I didn't watch 1 second of that game. I didn't watch 1 second of it. I forgot they it was won. On. So I really they don't won. Have. I know they won. Beat the Jets. Hall of Fame game. Exciting times for the Browns.
Yeah, that's all I have to say too. That's it, Mike.
It all comes down to Deshaun, right? It all comes down to Deshaun. If he's good, then the Browns have a chance
keep
to be
your
good.
Nose
if he's
clean,
plays like he did in the last, clean, if he plays like he did the last six games last season,
study more
it.
Of your iPad than Johnny Manziel is, Mike. That documentary's out on Netflix. You got to watch it. The Johnny Manziel documentary. I saw one clip. I haven't watched it yet. I haven't watched the full thing yet. They saw a clip and they're like halfway through the season. And the one IT guy goes to the coach and says, "Guys, Johnny Manziel's usage of the iPad is at 0.00. He never even looked at the iPad to look at film."
Yeah, of course not. Yeah, of course not. Hey, he had better things to do. Johnny was out. Johnny was out and about.
A man about town.
He was out and about. Let's leave it there for Johnny. So, all right. Thanks, everyone, for checking out tonight's NBA episode. Glad to be back. We should be on our regularly weekly Wednesday morning release, Tuesday night record schedule. So please continue to check those out. And don't forget our regular episodes that drop every Sunday night and Thursday night. So we'll catch you on our next one. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.